There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Am I part of this or what's going on?
You can be.
Oh.
Do you want to do it?
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
This week's episode is brought to you by Loot Crate.
Loot Crate. Visit
lootcrate.com/weeklyplanet. That's L-O-O for $3 off any subscription.
That's great. Should we talk to them and see if they can also purchase lootcrate.com?
Please.
L U with the umlaut over the top, T, crate.
But in the meantime...
you're going to have to be satisfied with LOOTcrate.com.
/weeklyplanet.
/weeklyplanet.
All right.
Loot Crate.
Red hot comic book movie news. Shooting up your butthole.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
Oh, it's me. I'm back.
You've done it.
Big old week. I cleaned out the lightning port on my iPhone. Feel like a new man.
Did you use a Q-tip?
No, I used one of the thingy off this leather man.
Oh, yeah.
I used this tool for getting stones out of horses' hooves. I just dug in there for a while. That... sweet life hack, if your phone isn't charging properly, what happens
grab
is...
grab a knife and just kind of swizzle it in there
with the power on, doesn't matter. But like, what happens is like lint builds up in there.
Yeah.
And then you plug your charger in.
Yeah.
It's like an old-timey blunderbuss. You like pack it down. So there's often tons of stuff in there, so you just got to dig it out.
What'd you find in there? Anything good?
Treasure.
Interesting.
The treasure is communication with friends.
Well, that's certainly true, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's basically all I did this week.
As long as you're keeping busy.
Yeah, I think so.
Keep it out of trouble, off the streets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I did it while committing a robbery.
Oh, right.
So,
swizzling a knife into a phone. I guess that's threatening.
Mm.
Yeah. Sad news to start off with, though.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali dead at 73.
The greatest of all time.
Yeah, that's it, man.
The only man to survive 10 rounds in the ring with Superman.
That's correct,
in 1978's Superman versus Muhammad Ali.
Where, and he's one of the only people also to... this is obviously fictional achievements. He did a lot of...
we'll get to his real ones in a second, but...
but he worked out who Superman was.
That's right, yeah.
Because he figured that out, you know, which a lot of people didn't.
But yeah, I mean, this is obviously sort of only tangentially related to this show.
Yes.
Because he was in that one issue.
Right,
but I mean, insofar as real life superheroes,
yeah,
he was kind of, you know, he was a great showman in the ring, but also, you know, he protested against the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He, at one point, talked a suicide jumper off
the
building. I saw
that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. This is in, like, 1980, and there was a guy up, and he was like, you can see some footage. There's plenty of stills out there, and it's just this guy was on the rooftop. He was going to kill himself. He's like, I'm going to do it. I'm no good. And Muhammad Ali's like, I love you. You're my brother.
Yeah.
Get back in here.
That's bloody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, another great clip that's been floating around. It'll be on Twitter and stuff by now.
Mm.
And I don't know who he's fighting.
Yeah.
Because Ali's facing...
hopefully another boxer.
Yeah, no, it is. As far as I know. Or an old man. Who's to say? But Ali's facing the camera.
Yeah.
And the other guy's back is to the camera. So I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
But it's in the ring. And this guy has Muhammad Ali against the ropes in the corner.
Mm.
And he's just swinging punches furiously, just like these rapid-fire barrage of punches. And Ali's just, in the corner, just dodging them all. He's not like blocking him. He's not using any kind of technique. He's just so fast that he's just like, nope, 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 nope. And he dodges 21 punches in 10 seconds. And then the guy just gives up. Like, he backs out of the ring. And Ali does one of these, the head swoop of like, what now? What are you going to do now? It's a great clip. You should check that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, like, in terms of like, you know, he protests against the war. He's like, why do I have to go 10,000 miles to like kill some brown people I don't even know?
Yeah.
And, you know, he risked it all. Like, they took away his titles. They were like, you know, you can't fight anymore.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, it was like, it could cost me millions of dollars. Mm. They could throw me in jail. Well, black people have been in jail for 400 years. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, what can you do, kind of thing.
And also, I just want to point out, we're not anti-Vietnam veterans or
anything.
No,
sure,
like
absolutely
that.
Not, yeah.
That was just a very difficult stance to take.
Yeah, but, at the time.
At the time, yeah. Mm. Just before we move on, have you ever seen the movie When We Were Kings?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Fantastic movie, documentary about the rumble in the jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely worth a look into.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, you'd definitely be missed. You know, we've had a few kind of big losses this year, and that's, yeah.
He was definitely the punchiest one.
Prince was relative. No, yeah, I think he was.
Yeah.
No, I think Prince hit Sinead O'Connor once, didn't he?
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Hit her with a hit single in Nothing Compares to You.
Sure he did. Yeah, absolutely. All right, what else we got going on?
Back to regular news?
We're back to regular news.
Oh, you know what we should do before we do regular news, or during regular news? Yes. I have here me Lutz Crate, which has been sitting here for like a week.
Yeah.
Because we're sponsored by Lutz Crate this week.
That's right.
I'm going to bloody crack it open during the news.
You can't avoid the ad.
Yeah, exactly. That's
it's
how we
all
do it.
Throughout.
We're the smartest podcast in the world, except for all the science and learning podcasts. And people with intelligent hosts, podcasts with intelligent hosts.
Yeah, but nerds.
Nerds, exactly. Anyway, I've got me old Leatherman. I've got a sharp object. Everybody watch out.
Every time you bring out the Leatherman, I always go to say to you, why do you have that?
But exactly.
But every time you use it, you're using it for something useful. You don't just,
I'm not just swinging it around.
Yeah. All right. While you're cracking that.
Okay.
Apparently Brie Larson is in early talks to play Carol Danvers.
Yeah. Now, what's she been in?
She's in Room, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
She's amazing. She won an Oscar for that. She, not The Room. I know.
Sure,
people know that, but I feel like I've got to make the distinction. What else is she in? What do you got there? Is it a Lut pin?
It's a Lut pin. I don't know what it's for.
I think you said that last time.
Yeah, I know, right? I never recognize him.
I think it's just to like symbolize this month's box or whatever.
It's some sort of robots. I love it. Oh, here's something for you. Actually, do your little news. Brie Larson sounds great.
Yeah. She was in, what was I going to say? She's in 21 Jump Street.
Oh, that's right, she is.
She's in, I can't remember the name of the movie, but it's the one where she is like a guidance counselor.
Uh-huh.
Short term 12, that was it, which is, she's amazing. That's an amazing movie. What is that? Some kind of Super Mario thing?
No, it's not a Mario.
Is it a fire flower?
It's a bloody Dragon Ball, mate.
Yeah, I'll play that.
Yeah, it's bloody...
Now, as everybody knows, I'm the biggest Dragon Ball Z fan. You can ask me any question on Twitter, and I'll know the answer if you give me time to look it up.
How many Dragon Balls are there?
It depends on the season.
Correct answer. I don't know if that's true. It's a bloody plushy Dragon Ball. You can hang it from your car mirror.
I don't like hanging stuff about.
Also, I think it's illegal in Australia. Don't do that.
Yeah, but Brie Larson is incredible. Like, if they got Brie Larson, an actor of that caliber. Chris Evans, they asked him in an interview, like, who would you want? Uh-huh. He's like, would you want Brie Larson? He's like, definitely. They're in Scott Pilgrim. I think she was in it briefly.
That's right,
as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. She is one of his workmates.
Is that right? Or I can't remember.
Anyway.
You're probably right.
Yeah, great.
I'm asking you whether that is true.
Do you think if they introduce an Oscar-caliber actor, it makes everybody else look like garbage? I mean, Robert Downey Jr. Is good.
Yeah, like Robert Redford?
Yeah.
Because he didn't make everybody else look like garbage.
That's true.
I think it elevates people.
Yeah, I think
that's what I think it does generally.
Because they're like, oh, we've got an Oscar winner here.
Yeah, and I think also they generally, I'd say even in most superhero movies, nobody's kind of outshone.
That's true.
And I would say even in the bad ones, it's fairly evenly.
I think so, true, yeah. And also everybody's sort of facing off. Whether you've won an Oscar or not, everybody's also acting against the piece of paper with an X on it.
That's
so.
Right, exactly.
Like,
I just had a panicked moment. You probably saw it in my eyes where I thought I wasn't recording.
Ah, how'd we recapture this gold? I mean, looking through a box. Oh, speaking of, look at this. Check this out. This is awesome. It's a Hulk bust.
That is awesome.
It's a Q fig.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bloody crack it open right now.
Now it's not worth anything, Mason.
Oh, jeez. Oh, do you think if I... I can't tape it back.
You can't even touch it with your bare hands, the outside.
Oh,
you've devalued it.
And everybody heard me open it too, so I can't reclose it and pretend I didn't. Oh, well, in for a penny, in for a pound, that's what I say. It's a bloody... Oh, this looks really good. It's a bloody Holocaust. It's a little... Oh, he does have ultimate power.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that. You could hang that from your car.
I'm not gonna... It's crazy. It's dangerous.
Yeah, that's not worth anything now.
No, but it's worth
no,
things
that
in my
is
heart.
Cool. That's great.
It's super cool.
What's that made of? Sounds solid. It's not made of
titanium.
Eggs.
Titanium.
Yeah, good.
It's made of titanium.
Good stuff. Do you know anything about Doc Savage?
A little bit. So he was...
Go on.
Okay, well, he's sort of... He's one of the characters, like, pre-superheroes.
Yes.
Like, in that sort of 1930... to 1940 era, like pre-Superman,
yeah.
Where we had like mystery men.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was rarely people in costume. It was like, you know, you're the Shadow, you know,
sure,
you'd be in a trench coat and a blazing, you got your blazing 45 automatics and maybe you have some powers that you've developed from the Orient. You know, back in the day, we could just go to the Orient and get
just
some
grab
powers.
Just grab some powers, mate.
But Doc Savage was like...
Get an amulet.
His parents raised him with like a bunch of scientists and like martial artists and what have you. So he was
cool.
Like the ultimate man. Like imagine just, he's called the Man of Bronze. So imagine a very tanned man.
I was going to say, is it because he's tanned?
He's very tanned. And he's got like a slick widow's peak.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
Imagine he's wearing some jodhpurs.
Yes.
And then like a white shirt that's open like real low.
As
like
low as you can get.
Low as you can go.
Yeah.
And so sort of he's like, the idea was like he's like a... He's got the muscle of Tarzan, and he's got the deductive powers of Sherlock Holmes.
Of Tarzan.
Yeah, Tarzan. What is this, a vine? Yep, I know what I'm talking about. But yeah, he's kind of an early superhero, but you know.
Man of action.
Like why in do Indiana you ask?
Oh, well, I asked because apparently The Rock is going to play.
What if you were just curious?
Yeah, I'm just generally curious
about
a relevant comic book character.
Yeah.
Now you always have that kind of... You said that like there's certain characters from that era that
you
just
shouldn't bring them back.
Shadow, the Phantom, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think this guy counts?
John Carter of Mars.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think he's definitely in that. I'm not saying I
don't think he's probably well known enough where that would be a problem. I think you could reintroduce him, and that would be a fun thing. Maybe no.
Look,
maybe
it's
I don't
that,
know. Him
that's
that well.
The thing. Like, I think you could probably introduce any of these characters.
Yeah.
And say, here's a new, fresh take on them, but I don't know. It's something in the execution. They're like, okay, we've got to keep it at this era. I don't know what the issue is.
The Rock in that era?
Yep.
And be like, this a man from this era is capable of being this size.
Oh,
you know
I
what
see.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because a strong man from back then is a guy who like sucks his gut in and pulls his shorts up.
He's like
up.
5'6".
Yeah, and he's holding like one of those round weights over his head or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're exactly, because like evolutionary wise,
yeah.
Unless his parents are also 6'7" or whatever, they're gonna you're right.
My grandpa was from that era. He was 6'3".
Yeah,
and he was like a mutant.
They put him in a cage.
That's right.
He spent most of his life in a cage.
That's right.
No, look, I think you could probably do a similar of like, we, you know, a special regimen of vitamins and energy rays or whatever. It's fine. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Look, again, I like all these characters, but there's something, I don't know what they're doing.
Mm.
There's something they're doing wrong. I'm sure there's probably, I should probably look into it. There's probably some articles on.
Yeah.
Why does this never work?
Yeah.
But for some reason, people don't like going back to that era with these characters.
Right, right. You know who's a good modern-day version of that?
Mm-hmm.
He's a newer character, Fabian Gray from Five Ghosts.
Never heard of any of that.
He's the guy who's got, similar to Doc
Samson,
he's got
Samson,
ghosts in him. Yeah, pretty much. He's got a gem in his chest.
Oh.
And he's got like the deduction of Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes?
Well, no, it's like a ghost that's like the representation of... It's hard to explain. It's not that hard to explain. I just can't really remember. He's got like Robin Hood's accuracy.
Ugh.
He's got Dracula's strength.
Ooh.
And he just calls on different. It's great. It's a really good comic. I heard they were adapting it for TV. Yeah. So I guess I could see it working. I guess that Five Ghosts anyway.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. That sounds
that's what
really
we're talking
good.
About. What's a T-shirt for this?
T-shirt
month?
For Lootcrate. Oh, so excited. What do we got here? Oh, Warcraft themed T-shirt.
Oh yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know people are like,
how's it going? What's it going to go? Where's it going to go?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't have massive hopes for it anymore, but I still...
Look, some people have said, I read...
Excuse me.
I read, somebody said, this is the battlefield Earth of the
2016. That's a massive call.
That's a massive call and incredibly harsh.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because in Battlefield Earth we had Travolta and all those guys in the weird... The platform shoes and the dreadlocks and whatever.
Yeah,
and I think they've just gone... That feels very much like somebody's just gone in with that preconceived notion. Or they look, oh, it's a giant orc man, it looks like... So I'll just go in like that, but I don't think.
Yeah,
this is cool. I'm gonna wear
that. That being said,
I'm
gonna
wear this the bloody premiere. If we get invited, we're not invited. I just wear to a regular screening.
Oh, pretty good.
It is good. I like that a lot.
It's like what's that term? I don't know, that form of art.
Silhouette.
Yeah, I was gonna say mondo art, but that's not it, is it?
No.
So there's Rogue One news has been bloody up and down this week,
yes,
mate. So the initially they said, look, it's going.
It's the Hulk bus. It follows you around the room. Ah! It's not really a bus because he's got his little legs here.
Yeah.
He's wearing his stretchy Avengers pants.
Well, he has to, doesn't he?
Yeah, because otherwise...
You see his...
Hulk dong.
Hulk dong,
just
yeah.
Swinging about.
So Rogue One is getting reshoots like most films. It's not uncommon. Now, the reasoning for this, there's been a whole lot of back and forth. Apparently, it's a good movie.
I'm reading the magazine, but I'm still definitely listening.
Like, it's a good movie, but they think they could elevate it to, like, a great movie. Yeah. Apparently, it's too dark in places. Like, it might be too much like a war movie and not enough like a Star Wars movie, which that's fine, because we've got our Star Wars-y movie. Let's maybe do something a little bit different. That being said... Like Warcraft, I haven't seen it, and we won't be invited to the premiere.
I feel generally that it's, and I've said this before. I think it's time to say, okay, well, we've got Star Wars, it's just the umbrella. Why don't we have a really dark, gritty one?
Yeah,
that doesn't have the Force to come in and save everybody.
Yeah,
let's have a straight on the other side of the galaxy. Let's have a straight up comedy.
Yeah, yeah,
that's hilarious. And again, bloody break it up into genre.
That's right. So apparently, the rumor was that 40% of the movie was going to be reshot, and Christopher McQuarrie, who wrote the script, and he did Mission Impossible 5.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, people were like, "Well, Christopher McQuarrie—it's a hard name to say—McQuarrie right. was going to step in and help."
He should have changed his name to Christopher McQuarrie for showbiz, right?
He was going to step in and help. What's his name? Direct. What's his name? The director. Did Godzilla. And anyway, all these websites, including the terrific comicbookmovie.com, ran this story.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out Christopher McQuarrie on Twitter was like, that's a bullshit story. Maybe next time you ask me.
Sure. Right, yeah.
You know, whether that's true.
That's refreshing.
So he was basically saying, look, it's an insult to the director to say that he couldn't put together a capable film. Like, it's all on track and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And there was another story also that the reason that it's... The reason for the reshoots is the story wasn't quite fully fleshed out when they shot it.
Uh-huh.
And like most movies, they factor in reshoots. Like they know. They factor in budgetary and time-wise, like they did for Suicide Squad and Fantastic Four. Sometimes it's more expensive than others, obviously.
Yeah, right.
And so the story's developed, and then so they want the reshoots to reflect that.
Okay. And so, so ultimately, because oftentimes... Even with a $100 million movie or, $100 million plus, oftentimes decisions are made on the day.
Yes,
and somebody will be like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if this?
Mm.
And then they have to go, well, okay, but if we do that, we'd have to change this.
Yes.
And it does work better as a movie, but now we have to reshoot kind of thing. So the idea of there's going to be reshoots, so it's going to be bad isn't... That doesn't really hold any weight.
No.
Maybe it's going to...
It can.
Yeah.
Like you get, say, like the Fantastic Four movie, which had reshoots and... Kate Mara's got different coloured hair because they put a different wig on her.
Right.
But then you also got Civil War, which had reshoots. And,
yeah.
And Suicide Squad seems like it's, shaping up really well and it had reshoots. So it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
You don't know. It's not indicative of anything.
I found out what the pin is.
What is it?
It's a Battleborn pin. Have you seen Battleborn?
I know Battleborn,
it's
yeah.
like this. You get a bloody new loot in Battleborn.
Ah.
But Battleborn is like
a new loot.
Yeah, I mean loot. Yeah.
What
did I bloody stutter? I might have, but I played Battleborn at PAX when I was there.
Oh right, cool.
And it's a bloody first person shooter with a whole bunch of like crazy different,
a whole bunch
of unique characters. So there's like close in fighters.
It's all
like,
multiplayer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and there's like a fancy robot wearing a bowler hat.
He does look very fancy.
I know,
does
right?
he have a monocle?
He has one like monocly eye.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty good, right?
They know their fancy
robots. I should probably look that up in the magazine before I look at the pin and go, I don't know what this is. But it's like you get like robot minions that follow
around.
Oh,
cool.
Around,
okay. That's what the pin is. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So apparently also part of these reshoots might implement a Han Solo cameo for the new Han Solo. Yeah. Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah, yeah. And people have been saying, our friend Steele Saunders did say recently he'd be okay with there not being a... I'm probably misquoting him, but he said he'd be okay with there not being this cameo.
I think you speak for Steele.
Yeah, I think so. Because like, what are the odds that he's just going to happen to run into two groups of...
Rebel fighters
who are both on the way to the Death Star.
Yeah. And you also have to factor in the conceit that he's involved in the story, but he doesn't know what the plans are.
Yeah, right.
Because when he sees the Death Star, he's surprised. He's not like, oh, this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't think this would come back and bite me in the ass, but it has. And the other rumor is that it's going to end 10 minutes before A New Hope, which is like, that's a pretty definitive ending for a lot of the characters.
Yeah.
Unless if they decide to do a sequel. And if this movie's good, then I'm absolutely all for this idea, which I just thought of. You wrote this, the follow-up is stealing the plans for the next Death Star.
Sure. Okay,
even though the Emperor was just like, hey, here's the plans.
Right.
Because it was a trap, if you recall correctly.
I do recall it was a trap.
Yeah. Good stuff. Anyway, it might be good. It might not be. I'm still excited to see it. Do you think you run the risk, though, of this Star Wars movie? If you get all the kids in with the last one and one of the highest grossing movies of all time, and then you go, this is a war movie that's not really for kids. Do you think you risk alienating audiences and kids in particular by doing that? And I'm not saying every movie should be for kids.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you feel the brunt of that.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, which we'll get to.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
But
I think this is going to be another of our famous difference of opinion episodes.
Okay, sure. Yeah, do you think that could be a problem?
Nah, kids love war.
Yeah, that's true.
They love war, don't
you? Run around with a stick as a kid and pretend it's a gun.
Also, if we're talking about going to a kid's movie, look, I think if you got some young kids, they'll probably just be running up and down the aisles. They don't during the boring parts.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
And they'll be turned back when the bloody lasers are shooting. So that's
right. Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Last piece of the loot crate.
Yes.
Just FYI.
Yeah.
It is, and it looks amazing.
Mm.
But we got a note about it.
Yeah.
This came with this is an Infinity Gauntlet oven mitt.
Yes.
Which is an amazing idea.
It looks good.
I'm astounded. It was never thought of, but it turned out we got some reports on Twitter.
Yeah.
That apparently. So what happens? I assume when you go and you have oven mitts manufactured, you go to a manufacturer of oven mitts and you go, hey, can you make one that looks like the Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah.
And they go, sure. You don't think to ask the manufacturer of oven mitts, hey, do your oven mitts stand up to the heat of an oven?
Because that
would be self... You would assume that.
It's implied, isn't it?
It's implied if you go to a manufacturer of oven mitts.
Yeah.
But apparently they got bloody rooked.
Yeah.
And there are some reports that, like, if you bloody dip your hand into an oven with this oven mitt, that might melt.
Yeah, so exactly.
I'm going to say, if you got this in this month's loot crate, you don't know about it already, maybe this is just ornamental.
Yeah, exactly.
Hang it from your...
Well, actually, they issued a thing. And
voluntary
they said
recall,
that,
right?
Yeah, but I'll hang on to them and they're going to figure out what to do.
Oh, cool, awesome. All right.
Which is appreciated, because I actually emailed and said, hey, what are we doing
And they
about
said,
this?
Well, they'll send us better ones.
Well, they sent better ones, and they also, you know, issued, they're like, oh, we've issued this recall. So it wasn't just like, don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so if you got one this month, don't bake with it yet.
Yeah.
Hang it from your rear vision mirror in your car. Just have it really swing in front of your vision, and then just wait for the replacement. But it's a great idea, and I'm astounded nobody's thought of this already. Anyway, that's Loot Crate this week.
We've done it, haven't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
So yeah, lootcrate.com/weeklyplanet if you want to get $3 off any subscription. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Bloody Hulkbust. I'm excited for this.
I'm excited for this Dragon Ball.
It says keychain, but there's no way you're fitting that in
your
pocket.
This is enormous. There's no way. Yeah. Actually, this is something my brother would hang from his keys, the one you don't like.
Yeah.
He's got like... a Lego Darth Vader, but it's one of the enormous ones.
Right.
It's like a torch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, what else we got? There's been Spider-Man 4 concept art released from the cancelled Spider-Man 4 movie.
The last Sam Raimi one.
The last Sam Raimi one, which very nearly happened. And what we saw was the movie would open up with him fighting a bunch of minor rogues that they were never really going to give their own movie.
Including Bruce Campbell as Mysterio.
Yeah, I think that was the idea. You know what would have been...
It's a really overweight Mysterio based
on
that concept.
I know,
art.
Right? Yeah. But you know what was really interesting about that? Bruce Campbell plays different characters in each Spider-Man
movie.
Yes,
he does. That's true.
So I wonder whether that was the idea, that it was Mysterio just keeping an eye on Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's a good idea.
Those years. Yeah, I thought that would have been cool. Mm. The other one was...
like the overriding theory that Stan Lee is the Watcher.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Movies.
Exactly. Mm. And what was I going to say? The Rhino was also in that Rogues Gallery, but it wasn't like a big mechanical suit. It was like a guy in a spandex Rhino costume.
Yeah, it was Juggernaut in X-Men 3. Yeah, just exactly. A guy in just a foam suit.
Yeah, exactly, which... it's kind of like what some versions of the Rhino actually is.
Yeah, that's true.
And the main villain, which is going to be, well, rumored to be the main villain for Spider-Man Homecoming, was the Vulture.
John Malkovich is the Vulture.
Yeah, so, and Anne Hathaway was going to be Black Cat, but when that didn't happen, she went on to play Catwoman.
Yeah.
So.
I just want to play a cat in a dumb movie where everybody's in a bloody stupid rubber suit and just swinging about the city. Can we make it happen?
Exactly, yeah.
No one says no to Hathaway. Click. She's on the phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Though, who played... yeah, Black Cat was actually the last Spider-Man movie, Felicity Jones from Rogue One.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, she wasn't really Black Cat. She was like a secretary and I think she was upset or she supported Norman Osborn. I don't remember.
It was that movie where they just threw in a meal. That's a movie that reshoots or something where they just filmed like 6 hours of footage.
Yeah.
And they're like, and they just gave it to the editor and like they were like, can you do something with this?
Not really. I can make it shorter, but as far as being cohesive. Yeah. Actually, you know what? That would be interesting. If you had 6 hours of that, if you could make it into like a mini series, like if it would be cohesive.
Yeah,
that
okay.
Way.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, the extended cut, which we actually will get to in a minute.
Right.
So Justice League Part 1, Dawn of Justice League, whatever they decide to call it, is apparently just called Justice League.
Good.
But then there's going to be Justice League Part 2. So do you think are they just going to call that Justice League 2, second one? Two Justice Leagues? This is the second one? Like, what are they?
Yeah.
Can you call the first one Justice League?
Yeah, that's true. You can't call the first one Justice League and the second one Justice League Part 2.
Yeah.
Because it implies, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
No, I think they'll come up with it. What they're going to do is they'll call the first one Justice League. They'll call the second one Justice League, some dumb subtitle.
Like Dark Side War or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or something like that.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Something worse than that. Okay, sure. Yeah. So that's fine. Whatever it's called. It doesn't really bother me. But there was also big DC news this week because they released the trailer for the Batman v Superman Ultimate Cut, where we saw snippets of new footage.
Yep. Is that going to get a cinema release or just a home video
release? I think it's
just
home video, but... I'd probably go. Oh.
Would you though? It's longer.
You know what? If it was on, if I could get a digital copy of it or Blu-ray, mm-hmm. I'd rather watch it at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then I could stop and maybe have some toast. And like, I could do that in the cinema, sure, but I'd have to bring my toaster.
You'd have to bring a toaster.
A generator.
You'd have to ask the guy, you'd have to ask whoever's sitting closest to the power outlet in the cinema if you could sit where he is.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, can I just sit there for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll put the toast in, and if it's done the first time, we can switch back, but it probably won't be because you know toast is either too light. It's too light the first time. Okay, it'll be too light the first time. It might be burned the second time, in which case I'll just adjust and then I'll brought a lot. Do you want some toast?
So
that's the life we lead.
That's the life we lead. What do you think? Is this appealing to you?
No.
I don't know.
Not even a little bit.
But I want to see.
What are they putting in?
Well, that's a good question. Mm. There are a lot of elements of that movie that I like. Like, I like individual moments and scenes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the factory scene.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a few characters. Like, most, except for the Batman murdering stuff, I like of the Batman stuff.
Yeah. And again, I've said this on the show and probably other shows.
Yeah.
Don't give me an R-rated cut. Don't give me an ultimate cut. Mm. Give me a G-rated cut.
Yeah.
Where Batman throws a grenade into a room with two guys and then he closes the door. And then it cuts to them jumping into a little hatch and closing the hatch. And then the grenade explodes and they go, we're fine. And then it cuts back to Batman going, I knew they'd do that, so it was an attempted murder.
I'm the world's greatest detective.
Yeah, exactly.
Slash not murderer.
And then if they can somehow edit around the murder and make it so he's not a murderer, I will watch it in cinemas.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
If the reviews come back and go, if this fixed some of the egregious errors with the characterization of Batman, that's a bad sentence to put in a review, but do it anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
If reviews come out that are something like that, maybe I'll go back in. Also maybe if Batman says, if there's even a 1% chance this man is a threat, we have to just do something. That's what Donald Rumsfeld said. And I disagree with it. Here's a different thought that I had about Superman.
I haven't rushed to any kind of conclusion.
I'm still thinking about it. But I wouldn't say that because it's really irresponsible and weird and makes no sense.
So Larry Fogg...
So essentially if they reshot everything...
Okay, fair enough. You'd go and see it.
Yeah.
Well, Larry Fogg, the cinematographer, said on Twitter...
Was it Rumsfeld that said that?
Is it Chaney?
Would have been Chaney.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Yeah. Those of you who are fans will dig it. If you hated it, you'll still hate it. So I don't... I think it's... Yeah, it I just... You know, I want to see what else is in that universe. Yeah. That's what I want to see. More Callan Mulvey.
Oh, yeah.
Looks
yeah,
like we see
great, yeah.
We see know who Jenna Malone's character turned out to be.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like Barbara Gordon. That's not to say she isn't.
Yeah.
She could be Yindle.
What I would also like to see maybe in this Ultimate Edition is we see that CIA operative who is holding the camera.
Yeah.
He gets shot in the head. He falls to the ground. His ID badge comes out and it says, definitely not Jimmy Olsen. Yes. He's still alive in this universe. If we could do that.
Fantastic.
If we could stop Zack Snyder from ruining all the good characters just because he felt like it.
Okay, sure.
That would be good. What else could they change? Yeah, also, don't bloody... I hate the idea of like, well, the fans will love this.
Oh, right, yeah,
don't,
yeah.
Don't...
I just released a video.
I could be a fan of something and still be critical of it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I just released a video. I basically just tore down the new Superman.
Sure, right.
Because it annoys me how sad he is and how...
He's so sad.
Yeah, because... And look, and you know, you get people saying like, well, you just hate Superman and hate DC. I actually don't. I love Superman.
Exactly, that's
and
the
that's
issue.
And that's why
yeah.
it annoys me yeah, so yeah. much. If it was a character I don't give a fuck about,
right.
then I wouldn't bother making a video on it. Do you know what yeah. I mean? But Superman is important to me as far as a fictional person can be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I want to see a good version of that, which then, you know, inspires yeah. kids and people and yeah. you know, has a good message. Not a guy who's just... He sort of has the same ideology as Batman and they hate each other.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like when the first... My favorite character as a kid growing up was Iron Man.
Yeah.
And if that first Iron Man movie had been really bad,
yeah.
I would have been like... And people would have been like, what do you care? Who cares about this robot man? And I'd be like, he's not a robot. He's a man. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But, and yeah. they did make changes to the movie, but they were good. And yeah. so I'm okay with it.
Exactly. Change is not necessarily a bad thing. Mm. Sometimes it's a bad thing,
yeah.
though.
And if yeah. there's a 1% chance there are any changes in these movies, we should go out in force and kill everyone or something.
Absolutely. Anyway, so I put it out there on Twitter whether people want us to do an episode on the extended cut or if we do a commentary. Sweet tea, bro.
I'm wearing my tea.
Yeah. It's good. You've got it tucked under your chin. You're not really wearing it.
No, I'm not wearing it. I'm pretending. It's all blood red. It's very nice. It's got a nice yeah. fade.
Anyway. It does. Yeah. So I have to see it, I guess, before... If it's worth doing an episode on, we'll do an episode. Yeah. Well, I think either way, we'll definitely do a commentary before okay, Suicide great. Squad happens. That's going to be a great. Long one. I feel like it's going to might go the same way that Man of Steel 1 went, where I'm super positive at the start, and then it gets to like the buildings falling down. I'm like, oh no.
What have I done?
I hate this, I think. So, yeah. Anyway, let us know your thoughts.
Yeah.
If you have any. Or don't. Live your life. Mason, we saw a movie.
Yeah, we did.
We saw the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Out of the Ooze, Get into the Shadows.
Yep.
Get some ooze, get some shadows.
Ninja
do a,
rap.
Do go a flip.
Yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
Skateboarding.
2, Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
That's right. Now, luckily, we mentioned this last week, and I hope people in Australia did this. They did a lot of screenings on Sunday.
Because it's already out in America. It's been out for quite a while,
that's
right?
That's right. Last weekend. Same with the UK and a bunch of other places.
Still quite well, right?
Yeah. No.
Oh, right. Okay, then.
The last one made like $65 million in the US and this one made like 30.
Oh, then it's not going well.
Not as
okay,
well.
Right.
So what we'll do, as we do when we talk about any movie...
We'll try to talk about it without spoiling it for a bit.
That's right. And then we'll spoil the hell out of it. Okay.
Straight up top, I had a really good time at this movie.
Okay.
I don't care what you're going to say.
No, look.
I had a really good time.
Look,
it was exactly like a live-action version
of the cartoon.
Yes. From the 80s.
Yes.
Or the 90s or whatever, whenever we were children, I can't remember. And I thought it was great.
Okay, look, I agree with you.
Yes.
In that sense.
Yeah.
But I was kind of like, it was my dad's birthday yesterday, and I'm I need to be there
right,
for that.
We've got stuff
but I'm
going
sitting
on.
In this movie that I was behind on a video.
That's why
on
you're wearing a button-up shirt. You came in the cinema. We
Did
came
I?
Separately, and I'm like, oh, look at Mr. Fancy Man. What's he been up to? Is he having some sort of soiree?
My dad
Get
makes me
here.
Wear a button-up shirt at his birthday. That being said, kids would love this.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of kids now screening. There's a bit towards the end, which I'll talk about in a bit, where the turtles kind of... There's some acknowledgement and they win and like some kids were like clapping.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's great, man. Uh-huh. But that being said, this is not for me.
Sure. Okay.
So like I don't feel any nostalgia for it anymore. Ninja Turtles like biggest thing in the world, right? When we were kids.
Yeah.
But I just don't. If you show me Krang and Shredder and Bebop and Rocksteady, if it's not structured around a story that makes any kind of sense or has any kind of emotional impact, I just.
And you're saying this movie had no. Look, structurally, this was super by the numbers. It was like.
Mm.
Somebody actually showed up and was
wait a minute. What did you think the story was?
Oh, no.
You nearly got away with it.
I nearly got away with it.
Sorry, don't let me derail you.
I'll tell you what the story was. Okay. So basically, Ninja Turtles, they live in New York City.
Yep.
They live in the Big Apple.
Forget about
New
it.
New York.
Actually, I missed the very start. What happened?
Oh,
they were watching a basketball game.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Pretty much, it starts. They're doing. It's one of those fake outs where you think they're on some sort of crazy ninja mission, but they're just on the way to a basketball game.
Cool.
Anyway, they're just living in New York doing their thing, but they can only go out at night.
Yeah,
and they can't show their faces.
Well, they can't wear trench coats and hats like they did in the cartoon.
No, they're
they're pretty big, aren't they?
Some of like Donatello and Leonardo, and no, Donatello and Michelangelo are kind of normal human size, and then Raphael's kind of a monster.
Yeah,
and Leonardo's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
But yeah, but they can't go out. And Shredder, who was captured in the last movie, I assume, because I haven't seen the last movie. I nearly saw it. I was at the post office and they had Ninja Turtles DVDs at the counter.
Oh, really?
And I nearly went, ooh, impulse
Turtles
buy.
Turtles in Time, yes, please.
And then I was like, oh, actually, no, I'll just go in fresh.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's being transported.
Yeah. That I caught.
Yeah, he's being transported to a maximum security prison. He's broken out by the Foot Clan.
Yeah.
And he's bloody back in
running amok.
But now he's got a new ally in the form of
It's Krang.
He's a brain man.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So what about this movie appealed to you? Is it this nostalgia? Were you like, nostalgia?
Maybe.
You have no nostalgia.
I generally have no nostalgia for anything. Look, I thought it was very by the, like I was saying, it's very by the numbers. Like, there's literally a point where Krang shows up and he's like, I need this and I need this and I need this.
Yeah.
You have to go here and here and here and get these things.
Yeah.
And Shredder's like, okay. Sure. And then that's how the movie plays out. But I thought it was really, like, I thought it was fun. I thought the characters weren't, like, they weren't super playing on nostalgia value for the characters. Like, Michelangelo wasn't
Michelangelo,
like,
I felt, was.
But I felt he also wasn't like, cowabunga party, dude's totally tubular. Like, it wasn't just
there was a bit of that.
It was, but it wasn't to the point of just annoyance to
By the
me
way,
anyway.
I should point out, that original cartoon is unwatchable.
Oh, definitely,
like,
it's real
You
bad.
Know what? The first four are actually quite good.
Because that was the pilot.
And then it's just, and you know, there's the odd one, but it's just,
I'm sure they're real bad.
That being said, the 2003 version, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
and that the Turtles Forever version where
they all meet each other.
Up,
yeah.
And then they eventually meet the original Eastman and Laird.
Yeah.
Like black and white.
And they're psychopaths.
Psychopath Turtles from the 80s, yeah. It was fun. Even when they stepped out of the shadows towards the end, like when we get them in the daytime, I thought they all looked great.
Right. Oh, that's why they named it that. I just realized.
Shadows. Exactly.
It's very
yeah.
good.
It's pretty good, right?
Get the ooze. Get out of the
look,
shadows.
I thought everybody was good. I really liked the human versions of Bebop and Rocksteady before they turned into mutants. I'm like, these guys are great.
Yeah.
Look, some of the characterizations were a bit, again, they were flat and by the numbers. Like, we had Stephen Amell as corrections officer Casey Jones, who eventually becomes a vigilante.
Oh.
And he's, but that's the thing, like, I think he's good and charming in things, but like, they gave him, his character note was, I want to be a detective.
Yeah, exactly. I'll show you. I'm a 35-year-old man and I'll bloody show you.
But it was good.
That was a real shitty version of Casey Jones.
Yeah, okay.
He wears
yeah.
the mask for like 2 seconds.
That's true.
One bit he tapes wheels to his feet.
Yeah, he does.
And look, does some rollerblading.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have a golf bag full of, like.
No, he didn't.
I mean, we're comparing him, of course, to the great Elias Koteas,
who fucking nailed it.
Yeah, right.
That movie is
just
still holds
like a,
up.
Just yeah. Are you comparing this? I feel maybe you're comparing this unfairly to the first.
No, that's the thing. And I didn't even mind the last one.
Yeah, okay.
I just know this is not for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's right. Okay. Like, yeah. Not every movie has to be for
Man,
me. You know?
Elias Koteas, he had that golf bag full of, like,
oh,
baseball
so
bats.
Cricket bats.
Oh,
he beat so up all good. Those teenagers.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Oh, so good.
Yeah. It's,
but yeah, no, like, but yeah, and Megan Fox was good. I like her in that.
Yeah.
She's
fine, yeah.
Yeah.
People hate Megan Fox.
Yeah.
She's fine.
Everybody hates Megan Fox.
Apparently Judith Hoag was cut out. She had a moment. She's the original April O'Neil from the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. So
we had Laura Linney as a hard-nosed...
Yeah, she did well considering she...
Detective-type person.
Yeah, because like she's normally looking at like just pretend there's a big rhino. And be
right,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
But you had to play it straight because she's, you know, she's a very good actress.
We had Tyler Perry as Baxter Stockman.
He bloody put in, didn't he?
I know, right? Yeah.
100% that bloke.
That is, for anybody who doesn't know, that's... He generally plays Medea.
Yes.
Who is, I think, America's Dame Edna Everidge.
Okay, sure.
Except sometimes Medea goes to jail.
Sometimes she does.
Dame Edna's never gone to jail.
Yeah. You know what? Tyler Perry is really good in Gone Girl.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that guy, he's got some chops if he wants to.
Mm-hmm. But he played like the insanely enthusiastic.
Yeah, he played the Jamie Foxx Electro.
Yeah,
of that.
But I think he pulled it off better.
I do not disagree with you. Yeah, because he really, like, he just played it like a cartoon.
Yeah,
like he was all excited by science and being a bad guy and making bloody monsters and shit like that. The turtles. Do you like the designs of the turtles?
I thought I would go in and hate them.
Yeah.
Based on everything I've seen beforehand, I'm like, oh, there's too many doohickeys. There's too.
They
many...
kind of toned that back a bit in this one.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, it was good. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Because I think the last one, Raphael had a bandana and then sunglasses on top of the bandana.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And he still got the bandana.
Michelangelo had multiple pairs of sunglasses.
Yeah,
on.
And he had like pucker shell necklace.
Right. Okay.
Which
yeah.
I don't think he had in this one.
Yeah.
He just had a gold chain.
Look, I feel they were just on the edge of being design wise too much.
Yeah.
But I think if they've clearly they've learned from the first one, then
yeah.
they've gone, okay, well, we need enough to distinguish them from each other,
right.
but not too much that they're just walking novelty,
right.
or like walking eccentricity kind of thing.
Come to think of it.
Oh, somebody's changing their tune.
No.
Live
no,
on the podcast.
Definitely not.
Okay.
They don't really fight anybody.
No, that's
except
true.
For Krang. Like that, you don't see a kind of Foot Clan ninja
that's
moment.
True, yeah.
They should have fought Bebop and Rocksteady, but it's more like a brawl.
Yeah, like exactly. It's more like they're running into each other.
Yeah.
Lot. Yeah.
And that's all kind of that
there's
is.
Very, exactly. There's very little ninja-ing in this.
Yes.
Mm.
I mean, there's a lot of flips.
There's
a lot of
flips.
Skateboards.
There's a lot of, yeah. Was there more fighting in the first one?
Yeah.
So there's this is more, kind of like the Ninja Turtles too.
There's a, yes. There's a bit where, and it's never really been addressed, where one of them throws a shipping container.
Oh, right.
So, and I don't, so to show, like, to demonstrate their strength.
Uh-huh.
But you never really kind of get the sense that they could do that again.
Oh, sure.
Because
okay.
it kind of happens off camera. Like, you see some Foot Clan standing there, and then I think they just get hit with a shipping container.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Let's say there was some leverage.
Let's say all did it.
Yeah, let's say all. Maybe they all did it. Yeah.
They all did it.
Mm, yeah.
Did you like how they were like, we're brothers, but we're friends, but you're keeping secrets. Maybe you're not a good leader. Well, maybe you're not a good ninja or whatever. What's the rat think?
Yeah.
You like to
also, they're teenagers. They're going to fight.
I never got the sense that they are. In any incarnation, actually.
Right, sure, yeah.
They just don't really... I mean, they're weird because they grew up in the sewer.
Exactly, and Raphael seems more like a 40-year-old truck driver.
Exactly. And they're raised on like MTV and whatever else.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So I guess they're kind of... That kind of hyper-reality kind of version of 90s teenagers. What about Krang?
As voiced by the great Brad Garrett.
Yeah, that's right.
From Everybody Loves Raymond and Till Death.
Yes.
Whatever that last one was
whatever
called.
Whatever the one he's in at the moment.
Yeah, good. Real good.
I mean, it's just Krang, isn't it?
It's Krang, exactly.
He's very slobbery.
We've been waiting for this for years.
Yeah.
And here it is, and it's exactly what you wanted.
He's a bit bigger than you'd
that's true. Which I think is good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Because I feel like he could take a human being in a fight.
Like, just on his own.
Just on his own, just as a slobbery brain monster, whereas the little cartoon version, you can just pick it up and throw it. This one you can't.
No, you can't. Hmm. I do wonder, and I'm sure there's an explanation in the comics, is he didn't come out of a head, did he? I think it's just his race.
Yeah, no, they're all brains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they've evolved to that point where they're just a brain.
Yeah.
Limbs mm-hmm. and...
I'll remember the name of their race.
Utrons?
Later.
Utrons.
There we go. Utrons, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. You know what? I would really like to see an adaptation of the 2003 version because Shredder in that is also a robot.
That's right.
And there's a bit in it, and you don't know Shredder's a robot, where he takes on Leonardo and Leonardo decapitates him.
Right, right.
And so you think, but obviously he survived because, you know, he's...
But I hate that kind of thing because it's the...
Oh, really?
I always hate it when...
I thought it was a good twist.
No, but I always hate it when you have a character who's got swords or... you know, guns or whatever.
Yeah.
And they never employ lethal force.
Right.
Except they do it once on a character that they don't know can't be killed that way.
Right. Yeah.
There's a
Robin
British
Hood.
Yeah, there's a British Robin Hood series where Robin Hood's always shooting swords out of people.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Hands or, you know,
buckets of water onto people's heads.
Or shooting people, you know, nailing people's sleeves to a wall or whatever. And there's one scene where they're like, we're going to kill the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah.
And he just shows up and he like goes to a sheriff's meeting or whatever and he just shoots them all with arrows. But yeah, then it turns out they're all sacks of wheat or whatever.
And got boards in their
chest. Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, the one time that he does it.
But he doesn't do it again.
He never does it again. Exactly, right? It's dumb.
Idiot.
Don't put that in.
Okay, fair. Well, it's a kids' show, Mason.
Exactly. I will. You should cut this some slack.
You're right, I probably should. What do you think of Vern?
Oh,
I like Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, yeah, he's great in things. Yeah.
I tell you what,
I like that every character had a moment to shine.
Yeah. Yes, okay.
I think that's an essential element, I think, of a kid's movie. Is
yeah.
If you got to give...
Everybody gets a thing.
Everybody has their thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. His role is much smaller than the first one. There's there's less.
Wait, it's much smaller in the first one?
Sorry, much bigger in the first one, sorry.
Okay, right.
So it's more about him and April O'Neil, the first one.
Right.
And they're kind of a wacky duo, and then the turtles are kind of this force of nature that kind of come in and out.
Yep.
But this is more wackiness and magic, and not magic, like ooze and mutants and all that kind of stuff. Which, you know, is probably for the better. Did you like the action sequences? I liked the first one with the garbage truck.
That
was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Here's the thing, though. At no point did I feel like this was trying to sell me action figures.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe everybody else feels that. Maybe everybody else was like, this is just a glorified toy advertising whatever. But this is just fun.
But they're all action. Like, they already are action figures.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know. Yeah,
so, really. I don't know. Like, you know, when they get the turtle van out.
Yeah.
And it's got some novelty sort of weapons and
nunchuck arms.
Yeah, it's got nunchuck arms and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's killing people with sewer grates or whatever. Yeah, that's pretty.
I thought the action sequence was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, no, I can't disagree with that. That being said, they were fine.
Yeah.
I liked the one in the plane.
Yeah, me too.
It goes from the plane to the earth, and there's a tank and whatever.
Uh-huh.
But that last one, and I guess it's not a spoiler, it's in the trailers, where they fight Krang.
Too much?
It's just...
You were telling me it's exactly the same as the
first one. Yeah, because where they fight a giant robot Shredder,
uh-huh.
and in this one they just fight a giant
robot
Krang. And it's actually a different actor. At the end of... He gets some ooze at the end of the first one. The turtles, he falls off a building, Shredder,
uh-huh.
and he's out. And then he grabs some ooze, so I guess he healed himself. But it's a completely different actor. They shoehorned that guy in at the last minute because originally William Fichtner was going to be Shredder.
That's right.
And then they brought in a different guy who you kind of only see in the shadows.
Ooh.
He never comes out of the shadows,
ooh.
Unlike other movies.
Ooh.
And he's just this bald guy.
Okay.
And this guy, he's got full head of hair.
So the Shredder in this movie, is he the same actor
as
any of the actors in...
No, he's the first guy to die in Jurassic World from the Indominus Rex.
Of
the SWAT team.
That's right, he is too. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And you know what? I actually don't mind him. I think he's good.
Uh-huh.
He's not really used, though.
Yeah.
He doesn't
Who was William Fichtner in the first movie?
He's like a disciple of Shredder.
Oh, and he pretends to be Shredder?
No.
Okay.
No.
Great.
No.
Great.
But I think that explains why they had the robot suit, because William Fichtner couldn't fight the turtles.
Yeah.
So I think... Originally, they'd filmed it and they'd made it.
It's like that. It's like the adaptation of the Dead or Alive video game.
I've not seen it.
Well, it's got Eric Roberts is in it, and he wears like a virtual reality helmet so he can fight the Dead or Alive.
Does it go? Yeah, good, yeah, great,
it's great.
Let's bloody
spoiler. I'm gonna say best movie ever.
I'm gonna say if I was a kid, this would have been the greatest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That being said, this did nothing for me.
Huh.
But I can understand why people would like it for nostalgia reasons.
I don't even think that I like the idea that it was a live version of the cartoon.
Yes.
But again, I have seen some of the cartoon as an adult and it's really quite bad.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm powered by nostalgia on this. I was just like, this is a good movie. This is a fun movie for kids.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's quite simplistic.
Yeah.
And if I went into going, why aren't these adults acting like rational adults and why aren't they doing this and why aren't they talking like adults and why aren't they doing bad swears?
Yeah.
Whatever. Why are they shooting the turtles?
Where's Whoopi Goldberg? Well, she's in the first one.
Yeah. I think I'm just like, I've just put myself in the mindset of a kid and I'm like, yeah, this is a fun film and we're all having fun and it looks good.
So. I can't argue with that.
That's right.
That being said,
uh-oh,
the general public disagree with you, Mace. Oh, no. Actually, that's not true. I got a few like tweets. Oh, yeah. People really enjoyed it, which was good. Okay, as far as spoilers go.
Yep.
Can you I need, and I know it's a kid's movie, so I don't want to dissect this too much.
Right, okay.
Okay, so Krang's... Spoilers, I said that enough. Yeah. Krang's master plan is he needs three pieces of a device which he sent to Earth.
Yes.
To build a dimensional opening rift so he can fly the Technodrome through piece by piece.
Yes.
And it can assemble and it's the ultimate war machine.
Uh-huh.
And you can't stand on it unless you're a turtle.
No, that's right,
it's got gas or something. Yeah, yeah.
Cardiovascular systems.
That's right, that's involved. So the way that Krang decides to do this... Very early on in the film, Shredder is teleported, jumping from a van to a helicopter.
Yep.
And they don't know where he's gone.
Yep.
And it turns out that Krang has grabbed him.
He's intercepted him, kind of.
Intercepted
thing, yeah.
him and brought him into Dimension X.
Uh-huh.
Slaps him around and bit and
goes. That was all a bit vague. I'm like, where is Krang?
Yeah, right. And he's like, go to Brazil, get this bit. The other bit's in the New York Museum, which I'll get to.
Okay.
And the other bit you already have, because Baxter Stockman have it. And then he sends Shredder back.
Yeah.
Krang clearly has interdimensional teleportation.
Yeah, okay, right,
And those bits of the technotrope that fly, they're not big, are they? So I just feel like you could probably just open a portal. Also, did you send these bits to Earth by accident?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what?
How did that
happen? What look, are you doing?
Look, if we're gonna pick this thing apart, I would say...
I know we should.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I think that if the idea behind the other two... Like, Baxter Stockman's got the teleporter.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that Krang just hijacked it somehow.
Right.
But I would suggest that the other two pieces are for amplifying it. So if he's just got the little teleporter,
yeah,
he can teleport, like, one or two people.
Right.
If he wants to keep it open for a really long time and put the Technodrome pieces through, he needs the amplifiers.
You got me.
That's right, I did get you.
Sounds like you're in league with the Krang. Okay, what about this? One of the bits of teleporting machine...
Yes.
...is... in a New York museum.
Listed as space debris.
And it's clearly this alien rock.
Yeah.
Like, it's got dials and shit on it.
Yeah, right, uh-huh.
And the way... And it's not guarded. It's not behind glass.
That's true.
They walk up to it.
Yep.
Rocksteady hits it with his head. It powers up. And Shredder just flicks a switch on it.
Yep.
And it opens up.
Right.
Had nobody...
ever thought to...
like, scanned it or, like, given it any thought whatsoever?
I wondered about that myself.
Yeah. Again, it's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
This isn't any dumber than the original Turtles 2, which I loved when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that one had a rap. And this one's
very true.
I don't,
this
maybe
one
there
has
a
rap. This one has Vanilla Ice. Then, well, this one has Vanilla Ice in the jukebox.
It's got Ice Ice Baby.
It's not Ninja Rap. Yeah. It's Ice Ice Baby.
Why wouldn't you do Ninja Rap?
Well, no, but who would put Ninja Rap in a jukebox in their bar? Nobody would. Not even that guy who plays Tina Fey's boyfriend in 30 Rock.
That's true, yeah. I didn't buy that Casey Jones flipping out.
Right, exactly.
Where he's like, tell me where they are. I'll throw things at this bar.
You'd think that guy would just be like, well, I'll call the cops then.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he's just like, here's a GPS where you can track Bebop and Rocksteady. Yeah.
Kids anyway. Film.
I know. I don't know why. What am
Look,
I doing?
If we're gonna no prize this whole movie, I would say maybe the reason that nobody could open up the space debris.
Yeah.
Maybe because you have to have been exposed to, like, Dimension X energies.
Right.
And Shredder has been.
That's true,
yeah. Nobody else has been. But yeah, you'd wonder why they haven't just cut it open with a hacksaw or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Casey Jones is a baby. Just a big baby.
I want to be a detective.
And even, like, when they're like, hey, you know how Shredder got away from you when he was being transported?
Yeah.
Tell us what happened. He's like, well, there was a van and then he couldn't even like explain himself reasonably.
Right.
He could have said, I was ambushed.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, right, yeah, sure you were.
I did.
He was clearly, there's a hole in the roof of the van.
Yeah.
Surely there's footage of this.
Yeah, it is weird. It is quite difficult to buy that, like, the Laura Linney's character will be okay with the idea of like 30 ninjas showing up on motorcycles and like weird, like roadster, like
three-wheel bikes,
three-wheel car, little low to the ground car things, and a helicopter, and they'll cut through the roof, and they'll blow up all they're unwilling to believe that there might be a third party involved for driving a garbage truck.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
The idea that if he just said there were these other guys in a truck,
yeah,
that they would have been like, oh, okay, but the fact that he said garbage truck, they're like, oh, yeah, garbage truck. So that was kind of dumb.
And even like when he's being interrogated and he's just being, you're just being unreasonable, mate.
Mm.
You just seem like a lunatic. No wonder you haven't been promoted.
Yeah.
You're just a 35-year-old man just screaming away.
Great car, though.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah. Was that the Bumblebee car?
I think it was a Camaro, yeah.
There was a little Bumblebee cameo.
That's right, yeah.
In the
Halloween scene.
In the Halloween scene, yeah. Mm. I also didn't understand why when Raphael decided they weren't going to turn themselves back human.
Yep.
And he takes that mutagen and he just throws it against the wall.
Why didn't they save it?
Maybe you need that. Like, maybe you want to turn Bebop and Rocksteady back human. You know,
it's symbolic. Oh. Also, they loved being a warthog and a bloody. Don't take that away from them.
No, I know, but that's why you take it away from them.
Because
they're dangerous.
No, they're fine.
They took that grenade pretty well.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought they were dead. There's a bit, for those people who haven't seen it, Casey Jones lures them into a shipping container. He throws
Batman style,
throws in a grenade, kicks the door shut, and it explodes. And then they're just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
They just let him shake it off. But, you know, it's fine. You know what? There was one touching moment where the turtles are revealed in the police station and they're in the bright lights.
Yep.
And the police are like, these guys are monsters. And Michelangelo's like, we're not monsters. Like, he looked really sad. Yeah. He's like, we're not that monsters.
The eyes are quite good.
Good stuff.
Good work
all
on the
eyes. All for that. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it did...
Also, they're bulletproof. It was proven in the first one.
That's true, yeah.
You haven't seen it.
No, I haven't, but I got the impression that they are just indestructible tanks in the first one. And without saying anything, they've tried to tone it down a bit in the second one. Like, they're like... They were too extreme.
Yeah.
They were too max-stream in the first one.
Mm.
So we're going to tone it down. So maybe they're not bulletproof anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they are.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So there's a bit at the end I mentioned before. And this is why I think this is great for kids who love Ninja Turtles or whatever.
Uh-huh.
The Ninja Turtles get the key to the city at the end. And like the crowd's cheering and everything. And then there were kids in the audience of the cinema. Because there's a lot of kids there.
Yep.
And me and you.
Yeah.
And the kids
we're
are
on
like,
a list now.
That's right. And they're like clapping, you know, because it's their heroes and whatever. They've been accepted and they get to stand on top of the Statue of Liberty. And
they love being a turtle.
They certainly do.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's really cool. Mm. Like it's got a good message.
Yeah.
I
just be yourself.
Even if you're a weird, giant, invincible turtle monster.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's even more important, I guess, in many ways. But look, like I said, I didn't even hate it. It's just not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Yeah. That being said, it ruined my childhood, Mason.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did.
Shut up, everybody.
Yeah.
You big babies.
Yeah.
Your childhood's fine. Mm-hmm. Unless you had a bad childhood.
Ugh.
In which case, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's about it. I like the Bebop and Rocksteady guys. They were cool. Could have been more lasers.
There wasn't as much lasers as you'd think, was there? Yeah,
given there was a Technodrome.
They didn't even fire off the bloody Technodrome. We saw the eye.
Yeah, we did.
I didn't really like the design. Not that it matters.
What else? Anything else happen? It was probably unnecessary right at the start where April O'Neil has to go and download the information from Baxter Stockman's iPad or whatever it is, and then she has to follow his... Like his second in command or whatever. And so she has to dress as like a sexy anime schoolgirl.
Yes.
Probably completely unnecessary.
So you know what? Somebody
didn't need to waste that time. Because she's in the view of the other anime schoolgirls for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's right.
Could have just leaned in and been like, hey guys.
Hey, I'm 35. She's also 35. I don't know what she is. I was going to say something else. Somebody sent this to me on Twitter and I'm sorry because I can't remember who. There's a bit where Shredder says to Baxter Stockman, you're irrelevant, you're a footnote. And this person said... You miss the opportunity to say, you're an insect.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Because Baxter Stockman turns into a weird fly monster.
There was also a scene when they're in Brazil.
Brazil.
One of them, somebody, I think it's might be Bebop, he slaps a, like a, it's either a mosquito or a fly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is... Also, it didn't really make any sense that everybody has, like, animal DNA in them somehow.
It's, yeah, that's...
That made no sense.
They could have just... I guess that means they... And they could have just said, we have warthog DNA and rot. What DNA have we got to mix with them?
Yeah.
In the cartoon, I know they get a rhino and a warthog.
Yeah, exactly. Because in the traditional Ninja Turtles universe, you transform... If you're exposed to mutagen, you transform into whatever animal you touch last.
I think that's in the cartoon. I think in the comics, you just you become humanoid.
Oh, you evolve. Okay, right.
I think. Yeah, I might be wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm never wrong, so I do.
But I mean, they could have just been wearing like rhino,
rhino
skin jacket or
something.
Or in a warthog skin jacket, and they'd be like, oh, we turned into what we are. Oh, no, you know, what we're wearing.
It's weird that we're both wearing
weird
animal jackets.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
But yeah, like I said, whatever.
Hmm.
Take care, bloody kids.
What else? Anything else happen? Tank was good. Oh yeah, I feel sad we didn't see Baxter Stockman turn into a giant fly monster.
Next time.
He was saying, because apparently everybody signed on for a sequel.
Yeah.
So if that happens, which it may not because it's making no money, then he'll be fly Baxter Stockman, which will be great.
Yeah, absolutely. It's weird though that, maybe it's irony, that Shredder kidnapped Baxter Stockman. He was like, take him to a facility in Japan. And then when Shredder goes up to meet Krang, Krang just freezes him and puts him in a vault.
That's true.
Villains.
Uh-huh.
So
were there any other recognizable villains?
I couldn't see. I'm sure there were.
Was
Wingnut and Screwloose,
Mondo Gecko,
Ray Fillet.
What's the name of the alligator guy?
I guarantee. Leatherhead.
Yeah. Okay. Man Ray. All the greats.
All the good ones.
All the mute animals.
A sucky Yojimbo.
Different universe, but all right. I think that
doesn't matter, mate.
Yeah, right.
The neutrinos.
Yeah,
the kids from Dimension X.
Bucky O'Hare.
Isn't he in the Star Wars universe?
No, he's from the continuity comics universe.
We mentioned he's also in Star Wars.
Bucky O'Hare.
I'm sure there's like a Star Wars cover with Bucky O'Hare on it.
Wow, all right. Yeah. Might be in the same universe.
Hope so.
Write in, everybody.
Don't bother.
Don't do it. We'll Google it later.
That's right. Okay, we know what it's time for then.
What's that time for?
It's time for letters where we... No, sorry.
Ah, you son of a bitch.
Yes. What we are reading and what we're going to read. Of course, wait.
Yeah.
We have to put in the theme song.
Oh, sorry.
By we, I mean me.
Yeah, you'll do it. You'll do it now.
I'm doing the theme. What are we reading today?
Or then. I don't know when you put it in specifically.
Sure. What are you reading?
What I reading? A couple of things. I watched the first episode of Clever Man this week, which is an Australian...
Cameron Boone was telling me on Twitter he really enjoyed it.
At Baked Boons on Twitter.
Boons, yeah.
It's pretty good. I'm going to need another couple of episodes to really to get into it. But basically, it's like... The problem now is if anybody creates like a sci-fi superhero, like an original universe, you immediately go, oh, it's a combination of blank and blank.
Yeah.
So this is a
blank man and another
this
thing.
This is a combination. This feels initially like a combination of District 9 and Heroes.
Right, okay, thing. Sure.
So it's basically... It's this dystopian near future where it turns out that there's been like a hidden race of an offshoot of humanity called the Hairy People.
Right.
And they are sort of people, you know, they're stronger than human beings and people, but there's fewer of them, and so people hate and fear them, and they're sort of being pushed into a quarantine zone.
Yeah.
But some and
how's the makeup effects on them?
They're good.
Yeah.
I mean Yeah, they're good. You know what you're dealing with.
Okay, good. Yeah, sure.
It's fine. But I mean, it's not, they're not going for like a, it's, I guess it's more of a realistic universe. It's not really a comic book universe. So basically they're pushed into into a quarantine zone. But of course we've got a guy, our main protagonist, who's going to be the clever man, who he's a guy who He for a lot of money, he will facilitate passage, like, for the hairy people into, like, housing outside the quarantine zone.
Okay, cool.
But he's also kind of double-dipping because he takes their money, he puts them in an apartment somewhere, and then he, like, sells them out to the authorities for a reward money kind of thing. And he's got a brother who's, like, on the side of the hairy people, who's like, what are you doing, you son of a bitch, you betraying, you know, kind of thing. This guy who's playing both sides of the fence, he inherits the powers of the clever man from his uncle,
right?
Who dies?
He's indigenous, right? That bloke.
Yes, he is. Yeah. And so we don't really know what's happening. It seems to be a combination of things.
Yeah.
So I don't really know where the universe is going yet, but we don't really know what his powers are yet. He can sort of regenerate from injuries. We know that much. We don't really know what else. So it's kind of an allegory to like Australia's treatment of like Indigenous people asylum seekers and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
We'll see where it goes. Okay. It's pretty good so far. Yeah.
Cameron Boone said that it was good, but not just like Australian TV good, like proper good.
Oh, great.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
There definitely is a difference.
Look, it's definitely Australian TV good.
Yeah.
I'll give it a couple more episodes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Also,
it's kind of like, because we don't know, thus far we don't really know what the connection is between like the clever man and these hairy people.
Right.
And there also appears to be kind of like, we might be getting kind of like creatures from Australian indigenous folklore
that,
but I don't, we haven't, we kind of, we see, but we don't see something.
Yeah.
And we don't know what it is yet. So we might be getting some of that. So I'm kind of interested for that.
Awesome.
In Heroes, they always, It's a weird coincidence, but in the show Heroes, all the promotional material had this rock monster called Uluru.
Really?
Remember that?
No.
Those
people that don't know should explain Uluru.
Okay, so Uluru is in the middle of Australia. It's like a sacred rock.
You'd probably know it as Ayers Rock.
Ayers Rock, yeah. And it's sort of sacred to some Indigenous people in Australia. Yeah. But in the promotional material for Heroes, like there was lots of... There was like fake comic book covers and stuff like that.
Right.
And there was even in the first episode, I think, of Heroes, somebody reads a comic book and it's got this rock monster called Uluru. And it's never, like, we never see it in the show, but it's just referenced a whole bunch of times.
Weird.
It's just a weird coincidence.
There's no budget for it, probably.
I guess so, yeah. And also rock monster.
Also
anyway,
rock monster.
Anyway, yeah, I enjoyed the first episode. I was a little bit confused by some of it. I think things will clear up, and I'll give a few more episodes.
Okay, great.
What have you been reading?
Well, I've been the DC Rebirth happened this week.
Oh, yeah.
I've only read the issue ones of Batman and Superman, both of which I really enjoyed. Superman more so, because the Batman story clearly it's going to unfold. Well, they all unfold, don't they?
In a way, they all unfold.
Yeah, but so
in a way, comic books themselves unfold.
Correct.
And then refold when you finish them.
That's right.
And then you bag and board them.
Never to touch them again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a Calendar Man-based story. I really like it's good to see a new team on board Batman. Not that there's anything wrong with the old team. They were fantastic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've gone on to other stuff.
DC Rebirth, how much of Batman is Rebirth? Or is it based? It seems to be basically the same,
right? It's pretty much the same.
Same, right.
Yeah.
What version of Calendar Man are we getting?
He is the guy who sheds his skin with the seasons and he grows.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's a different. Awesome. I don't think I've seen that version before. It's like he dies in the winter and then he's reborn. And, and you kind of see that. It's really crazy imagery of like he busts out of his own skin.
Yeah.
It's real.
Do you remember in the video game Arkham City,
yes.
you find the Calendar
yes.
Man and he tells you different things depending on what day it is in real life.
That's right. It's exactly. Pretty That's pretty
Sometimes
good.
It's Christmas.
Yeah.
And he's like, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Well done. Yeah. So the Superman issue one, though, I really enjoyed. It's where it's the older version of Superman, the original version.
Back from California.
Goes.
Shaves his beard.
He's dealing with the fallout. And I guess I'll probably spoil this a bit. He's dealing with the fallout of the new 52 version of Superman who he witnessed die. And he's like, well, I've been dead before. So what I'll do, I'll take him to his version of the Fortress of Solitude.
Okay.
And I'll put him in the bloody regeneration matrix and bring him back. But in this version of this DC universe, there is no matrix. So he's dead. He's gone.
Very convenient.
So, yeah, exactly.
Very convenient.
But that being said, it does a really, not that I really finished reading it or really enjoyed it. But,
not that you can read it all,
but
you look at the pictures.
It paid really good kind of homage to the new 52 Superman.
Okay.
Like,
even though he's kind of a son of a bitch.
Yeah. And but the way, like you said, did sacrifice himself in the end.
Who else saw this Superman die?
There was a few other people. I can't remember who. I couldn't tell you. To be honest.
So
I can look at my phone.
Right. But this Batman, which Superman does he know? Are they going to have to re-meet again? California Superman and
it depends how this how the resurgence, whatever happens. It depends what memories they get back
and
whatever. You know, last week you were like, I hate it and it was balls. I forgot to say, I actually quite liked it, that issue
that's
one.
All right. That's all right. Okay.
Yeah. But
do you think this resurgence is just going to, I think it's just going to snap back.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, it's me, Batman, and I remember you, Superman, the old Superman.
Probably.
We're friends now again.
Yeah.
Hooray,
Yay.
Back to normal. It's Dr. Manhattan's fault.
Yeah, boo. Yeah. So, I also read, which I definitely recommend also, Civil War 2.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people were surprised by this. It's a lot stronger than you'd think.
Yep.
So, bloody get into it, Mason, if you want to. I won't drag this out any more than I should.
Yep.
I recommend all those things.
I also reread the Charles Bukowski novel, Post Office.
What's that about?
About a guy who spends, like, a couple of decades working in the post office. He's a real bad guy.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. It's a real good novel.
It's a short story?
It's short. It's like it's probably like a
novella.
Yeah. But it's like, it's a lot of drudgery. It's really well done. Like just a series of short vignettes about him just hating his life and working in the post office. It's pretty good.
Sounds real good.
Yeah, it's
good. Sounds great.
Yeah.
You know what it's time for then?
What is it? What else? Maybe I could talk about other Charles Bukowski. No, it's time for letters. It's time for letters.
Classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. Hang on, they're here right now. We're going to do letters.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Well done.
We're doing letters.
So if you want to send a letter to the show, and by that I mean tweet, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod on
Twitter.
That'll do it. We'll bloody go through them, pick out three, three of the best, three of the ones we come across, I should say, and then we'll talk
the
about
first
that.
Three the or first, the last three.
Yeah. Whatever during the week we go through them.
Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's late at night.
That's right. This time it was really, really late at night, like 3 a.m.
Good.
And this is from at Mr. Mixelplix, that's an underscore, Mr. underscore. Do you guys ever worry about superhero?
I'm just going to, before we start there,
you're gonna fix,
does it say Mr. Mixes Piddalick? Because that's how you pronounce that.
No, it says MXPLYZYK.
No idea.
It's a lot of Z's and P's.
Yeah.
Only one P. It's not important.
No.
Do you ever worry about superheroes, movie/TV fatigue? Would the podcast end? What else would or could you talk about? Do you worry about fatigue?
Yes, I think
we've talked about that.
Look, we've talked about it briefly, I think, but I don't know if the bubble will burst. For superhero movies and stuff like that. It seems to be going pretty strong.
Well, this has been one of the, I think the, maybe since 2012 with The Dark Knight Rises and The Avengers, I think this has been the biggest year.
Great.
For like as far as like monetarily. Mm-hmm. I think we've probably got about 5 years, like good or bad.
Oh, yes.
But I think it really depends on variety and it depends on quality.
Yeah, true.
So if they can keep, you know, every few months we get a decent one, mm-hmm, or even one good one a year.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like really good one.
Yeah.
We probably could sustain it.
And I think that your superhero movie is kind of like, it's become its own thing.
Mm.
So now we have like the best ones at this point now are they're a superhero movie and they've got a genre. Mm. They've also got another genre underneath. It's a espionage movie or it's a kung fu movie or what have you. So
yeah,
I think it might be that superhero movies sort of become part of the landscape.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, movies have superheroes in them now, and some of them are movies with magic and some are movies with sci-fi and, you know, et cetera.
Exactly. So, my hope is that like we're not necessarily get away from superhero movies, but it branches out into other comic book adaptations.
Yeah, that would be good.
You know, like the way we're getting Preacher and you know, like Kingsman is based on a comic.
Yeah, totally. And 100 Bullets and just kind of like genre stuff. Or even, yeah, exactly. Even like,
that's what I want to say. Yeah.
And yeah, even like non-actiony stuff.
Yeah.
This bloody comic book's about a little.
Blue is the warmest color, which I haven't seen.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that one?
Yeah, probably.
Like a French, French crap.
Oh, maybe not that. Let's not go crazy. Right.
But I guess if, say, we were still doing this in 5 years, like we both weren't dead.
Yeah.
That being said, everything declines in quality, doesn't it?
Especially when you die. Yeah.
But I think we just do... Because we can pretty much do popular movies.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think just big tentpole blockbusters
We're going to do Independence Day in a few weeks. Oh, and Warcraft. So it's just whatever's kind of the big thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's still going. Sure. If it's not still going, find another bloody podcast.
Yeah.
Just a
bloody...
One that you like
more. I hear the Meat and Dairy podcast is good.
I don't know. That's
what it's called.
Is it just... What's that about?
I think it's a satire
food
or
groups?
Something. Yeah, hang on, I'll look it up.
Food pyramids.
No.
Paleo diet.
I can't find it. Doesn't matter. It's on Maximum Fun. It's called like Meat and Dairy or Food and Dairy or something like that.
Good stuff.
It's like one of those fake, it's like a, I don't know, it's like a Welcome to Night Vale, like a fake.
Okay.
You know, like.
I got to get into that. But I listen to too many podcasts as it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is @GarrettIsIn on Twitter. # Weekly Planet Pod branding. Ooh. 13 hours wasn't too bad. I haven't seen it. Why is Michael Bay so incapable of getting Transformers right when he can be good? I think I said this on the show. I refuse to see 13 hours because he's taken away too much of my time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to see something even if it appears, even if it's good, if I don't have to.
I think we've also did you go with the idea that add up the amount of time that he's wasted yours and then add up all the time of the good movies that you don't see.
Yeah.
And once they balance out, you can start seeing.
That's right. Yeah. Because there are obviously certain things that I have to see.
Mm.
But, you know, if I didn't do this show,
yeah,
I would not see the next Transformers movie.
Right. Okay. I feel that even if I didn't do this show, I'm kind of ripe to see another one at this point.
And like you're the problem.
I know, right? I'm like, I'm feeling like this one might be good. So it might be good.
The next one, mm-hmm, if it's bad,
yep,
which it probably will be,
uh-huh,
will be the breaking point. That'll be the one that does half the business of the last one.
Oh, really? Okay.
I just think we're due for it, aren't we? I mean,
what are we up to? 4 or 5?
This is 5.
This is 5. It's the Fast and Furious one.
Yeah, but it's the same
director.
Where
the franchise gets great.
Shit.
Yep.
He just released a picture of Bumblebee and it's the same Camaro or whatever. And I don't care if he's a Camaro.
I think people will disagree. I think they'll be like, that's the 2017. That's the
that's
the primo
Camaro
one. Look at that spoiler.
I think that'll be 10 years then since the first one.
Yep.
God, he's been churning these out, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's Optimus Prime going to look like? What kind of truck? The same.
What kind of?
What's it going to look like in robot form?
Just jaggedy
even
metal.
Even sleeker than the last time.
Why can't he get it right though? What do you think? I just think he doesn't care.
He's got
his formula.
He's got his formula, and
I don't think he's an idiot. I think he knows what sells.
And I also think he's just in love with these massive extended battle sequences.
Yeah.
And to him, it doesn't really matter what's in them.
Yeah.
So I think
whether it be Will Smith.
I think he's just robots. Like, I like a movie where just the military are there and just explosions and mortars and tanks and everything's blowing up.
Yeah.
And I like filming those and people buy tickets when it's Transformers doing the blowing up.
Yeah.
So I'll just keep making that.
Not when it's Battleship. Not that he made Battleship. Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough.
The podcast I'm thinking of is the Beef and Dairy Network podcast. It's on Maximum Fun, the number one podcast for those involved or just interested in the production of beef animals and dairy herds. But apparently it's not about that at all. It's like, yeah.
Well, then why would I listen, Mason?
Exactly, yeah. But people are telling me that's real good, so I'm going to might listen to one.
My dad grew up on a dairy farm.
Yeah.
And now he's
in the shadow of his monstrous 6'3".
I know that.
That's the other side.
That's my other side, okay. Yeah.
No, but still in the shadow, though. He's a very big man.
Certainly, yeah. At the Malicious Egg. Mm-hmm. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Best movie based on a video game.
Oh, boy.
Now, I think I did this the other way.
Yeah.
I thought it was best video game based on a movie. I've read that. I've
Wait, which is it?
It's best movie based on a video game.
There aren't any. They're all bad. They're all bad.
I think
I mean, we talked about Dead or Alive earlier with the great Eric Roberts. That's pretty good.
I think it's Prince of Persia.
Oh, it might be Prince of Persia, yeah.
With the Middle Eastern Jake Gyllenhaal filling in for Prince.
Oh, so swarthy.
Dastard.
So swarthy.
We've talked about this. I think we did an episode on it.
Yeah. Go back to that. There hasn't been any good ones.
Let's go the other way then. Let's go best video game based on a movie, which I thought this question was.
Right, okay.
I got a few.
The X-Men Origins one's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I've never played it through, but apparently, yeah, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Better than the movie, by all accounts.
Uh-huh.
Spider-Man 2 is great.
Uh-huh.
The web-swinging mechanics
are... The Captain America game's good.
It is good.
Mm-hmm.
The combat's good. It's the Arkham combat with a shield. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not brilliant, but that combat in particular is... It's a pretty solid game. That game gets a bad rap.
The 1989 Batman the movie game on Amiga 500 is very good. That's I remember.
Batman Returns on the Atari Lynx is also amazing.
Batman Returns on the PC was good because it was like a weird adventure game.
Yeah,
where you
like
had to go around.
Point and click.
Yeah, it was like point and click, and you had to find clues. Like you were a detective. It was great. And then the fighting mechanic was super weird because like you'd get into a fight. And Batman just, he didn't really have any control over Batman. He just sort of wandered
in
forward.
A Batman
and he
game.
Sort of set his, like, you could sort of set his aggression level. But you could also, like, you could do this weird thing where you had to set, like, weird levels of how we would fight. And then it would sort of play out, like, without any control. Or you could just, like, throw a grenade and you'd win. It was real good.
Well, you'd throw the grenade, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Depending how...
Hey, here's the thing that I forgot. Speaking of people sending stuff on Twitter, I said to him that I'd mention this at the start of the show, but I completely forgot.
Yeah.
So it's right at the end. Our friend Dave Lankheit, at Millennium Pigeon on Twitter, he went to a con and he met the man, Stan Lee, wearing a Weekly Planet t-shirt. And there's a photo. If you go to his Twitter, if you go to at Millennium Pigeon on Twitter, there's a photo of he's wearing the Weekly Planet
t-shirt. That's the closest we'll ever get to Stan Lee,
I feel.
Because he'll never fly out here, because if you put him on a plane, he'd probably disintegrate.
Disintegrate was exactly the word I was thinking of. He would definitely do that. He would go out of the air conditioning system and just flutter away. Anyway, it's great. Good work.
That's cool. That's awesome. Yeah. GoldenEye, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
Which is weird, because that game came out like 2 years after the movie.
Yeah, right?
And it was originally going to be an on-rail shooter. And they changed, and the multiplayer was a last minute addition, which like one or a couple of guys just made.
And that's the only thing people still play it for the multiplayer.
Like that game is incredible, but I cannot play it now because of that controller.
Again, let me go on record. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I hate GoldenEye. I hate the N64. I hate the controller. I hated GoldenEye because everyone was like, let's play GoldenEye. And it was back in the day when everybody had like a little tube TV.
Yeah.
And it was broken up into four. And it was awful. You couldn't see anything.
And everybody's really good at it.
Yeah, and I'm no good at
it. Everybody knows where the body armor is.
Yeah, exactly. Because everybody had an N64 and they just played it religiously. And they're like, oh, get the golden gun. And then I'm bloody doomed.
What about Batman Begins on the PlayStation 2, where you had to strike fear into your opponents?
Yeah, that was a good one.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was
pretty
bad.
Balls. You know what wasn't bad?
Yes.
We should do an episode on this, actually. Mm. We did comic book video games that we liked, but we should just do movie adaptations.
Yeah.
Star Wars Episode 3 video game is quite good for an adaptation.
If you say so.
Because you're just cutting through like battle droids. Remember, it's got that versus sequence where you can pick like, whatever Jedi or whatever character. So you can have like Dooku fight Darth Vader.
That's right, I remember that.
Remember
that.
We used to play that all the time.
I enjoyed
that
actually, now that you mention it.
And the picture they used for Christopher Lee's profile.
He was like, ooh.
He was just looks so really confused. Like they went, before they went took the photo, they said, hey, Christopher Lee, this is for a video game. And he went, what? And then they took
what's
the photo.
What's a bitch? Yeah. Also, a good adaptation, Terminator 2 on the Game Boy.
Was that a shooter or a
side scroller? It was by the makers of Batman 1989. They were all the same. There was always just...
Was it a side scroller?
Yeah, it was like you were John Connor in the future. Yeah. You had to get to like the time displacement core.
You can't even see those screens now. Have you looked at one of those?
Not recently.
God.
No. And then it was like a puzzle level where you had to like reprogram the T-800. And then you're in the bloody...
The sewers?
In the
canal.
The canal on the bike, and you were shooting your shotgun at the T-1000 as it's coming at you in the
that
truck.
That sounds really good.
And then there was another puzzle thing or something, and then you bloody, it's the end of your fight in the T-1000, and you're getting grenade launchers and you're shooting them off a gantry into a steel
That's
thing.
Probably a bad game, but that sounds great.
Yeah, I know, right? I bet it was a bad game.
Yeah. There was a Terminator game called Terminator Redemption. They made two versions of the Terminator 3 video game.
Yeah.
And one was terrible, so they made a different one.
Huh.
And apparently it's really good. I played bits of it, and I remember it being good.
We played Terminator Salvation.
God, Jesus. That game. Do you remember?
Yeah. It was excruciating. It was one of the games we played like it was work.
Yeah, that's right. To its credit, it was a cover-based shooter, but you could play the whole game with two players.
Yeah.
And you couldn't put down the Terminators. Like the actual Terminators, until the end where they just give you a rocket launcher.
Right, yeah.
And then you're invincible. Do you remember the driving sequence that we did about 1,000 times?
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
Ah,
real bad.
That was some good memories though.
Yeah. And if you played single player, the bad guys would only shoot at you.
Yeah, so you could never come out from behind cover to flank them because they'd only... That game was terrible.
Yeah. We had a great time though, anyway.
We had some good memories.
Anyway, that's video game talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is next? Let's end the show.
Okay, great.
Shout out.
Yep.
There's another bloody animated video.
Is it from Raw Collins?
Absolutely it is.
Love it.
So I'd retweeted it, but if you check him out on Twitter as well, he does the @TheWeeklyPlanet
Twitter page, handle. Yeah.
And it's us talking about Batman, Superman, and a bunch of other
great
stuff. It's that fine, but it's the thing that you said. What is it? It's fine, but it's good, but you're wrong or whatever.
Yeah, I remember.
I really enjoyed it. I got to stay off Twitter. I just put it on and Game of Thrones is on at the moment.
Oh, the spoilers.
I can't look at it.
I've read an article recently that apparently just the spoiler etiquette has gone out the window for Game of Thrones.
Oh, really?
Like in normal circumstances, like if somebody, you know, if a new show comes out and there's an episode, people are like, don't say anything for, you know, a few days or whatever. But apparently with Game of Thrones, it's just like, it's out and I'm going to just live tweet it. I'm going to talk about it the whole time. And if you haven't watched it in the first nanosecond that it's come out, it's on you, man. Ha ha, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's that vibe, right? And it's people going, I can't believe he said that. Or like, I can't, you know, it's those vague spoilers
that you can figure out.
That you can immediately figure out. Cause it's like, well, that's different than what he said he was going to do last episode or whatever. And you're like, well, obviously that means this character's.
Or even I start off everything. Cause even like they'll put, even with like reviews on say YouTube or whatever, the thumbnail is a picture of a character who's important in that episode. I'm like, oh, well, that character has the big moment in this episode. That being said, our Game of Thrones episode is coming up and you haven't watched any of this season.
No, I'm way behind. I'll catch up. I'll watch two tomorrow.
Well, last year you watched like 50 episodes or whatever it was.
Yeah, over a series. Yeah, and I watched like the season 5 in like 3 days or something. Yeah, it was great. Man, I have a real good time with Game of Thrones, a show that I don't really want to watch, but then I'm made to watch in massive bursts.
I am amazed that you don't care about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't care.
I need
more magic in my magic
universe.
Dude,
it's bloody magic up the wazoo now.
Really? How many wizards are there?
There's at least one.
It's not enough wizards.
I said at least.
Oh,
no spoilers, Mason.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, there's definitely more than one.
Has anybody shot a fireball out of a wand? Or a lightning bolt? I take a lightning bolt.
No, but it's better than that. There's better stuff.
Disintegrator beam.
No.
And he's disintegrated.
None of
somebody
that.
Somebody turns to ash. Through a disintegrator beam, not a dragon fire.
Yeah. No, there is dudes who like explode into dust.
Right, spoiler alert.
Jesus, I'm not going to.
Etiquette. Come on.
Etiquette. I apologize. Yeah, sorry, because we're actually recording this on the Monday. So people are going to see this. You hear this like hours after we record it. So this is fresh as, mate.
So fresh.
Now, I was going to say, I've got to check Comic Book Movie for the... if there's any fresh news, but if I go there, there'll be the
Game of Thrones spoiler. You got to risk it though.
No, I'm not doing it.
All right, fine. I'll do it because I don't care if there's spoilers. All right, here we go.
In the meantime, you can find us at.
We're at Weekly Planet Pod,
which we never check, so don't bother. But yeah. At the Weekly Planet,
yeah, Weekly Planet Pod, Facebook, Twitter, Gmail. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies. Yeah, if you want to,
yeah, we never really tweet from that Weekly Planet.
I haven't opened that account in like
2014.
Years.
Yeah, we'll do it at some point.
Nah, probably not.
But yeah, the Weekly Planet's the better place to follow.
Definitely.
There.
Yeah.
What else? Patreon.com/ Mr. Sunday Movies.
Yep. Do you want us to do an Independence Day commentary?
Oh yeah. Also, yeah, Bandcamp. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Bandcamp. Weeklyplanetpod.bandcamp.com. So might do Independence Day, and then if we get time, I'm not sure if we will. Maybe with Warcraft coming out, we'll do like. Mortal Kombat commentary.
Oh, yeah, cool. All right. Or a Dead or Alive commentary with the great Eric Roberts. What else? We've got some t-shirts on Redbubble through the Golden Legend and Fergal Quigley.
It's Red Buble.
It is Red Buble. Oh, yeah. We forget anything else? We always do.
We always do.
We always forget something.
But we never have.
There's a Doctor Strange lunchbox out.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It's in the merch.
Yep.
Is Channing Tatum about to leave Gambit for a role in the DC Films universe?
Yes, apparently.
Probably.
The director of
there's
the
a picture
Flash.
Of Captain Cold, so I'm assuming it's Captain Cold.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
This is just speculation. I think Josh Wilding did that article. I might be wrong. Good dude. But the director of The Flash has followed a whole lot of DC actors, and one of them he also followed was Channing Tatum. And because the Gambit movie has fallen through, there's speculation that, you know, maybe that's got something to do with it. Could be a coincidence.
First look at new Bumblebee, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Hayley Atwell reveals what Peggy Carter would think of Captain America kissing her niece. Let's find out.
She hates it.
Read it. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
All right, that's the show for this week. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for subscribing.
Yeah, that makes
thanks for sending us a nice review.
Yeah, that always helps.
That's
absolutely
always good.
Yeah. Anything else? No, that's it.
We nearly got 1 million downloads last month.
We were like 14,000 off, but that was just on... That's not including YouTube.
Ah, that's true, but it's nice to see it all in the one place. I know what I mean? So if you know somebody who'd like the show, tell them. I mean, not right away. That would be weird.
Tell them.
Yeah, no, tell them right away.
Yeah.
First time you meet somebody, Weekly Planet, take their phone, subscribe.
That's right. That's the rule.
I found that I'm actually subscribed on my own phone to our podcast.
Did you not? Were you not?
Why would I? I'm on the show. Why would I? So I unsubscribe. But then I'm like, will this hurt the numbers? I don't know.
All right, good stuff.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Grab that gem, you guys. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.